This is the Agribusiness Report. Today, highlights from the recent USDA Ag Outlook Forum. But first, USDA urging farmers to enroll in either ARC or PLC.
With commodity prices so incredibly high, some producers may not see the need of signing up for USDA safety net programs, ARC and PLC. However,
it's important that you get in and sign up whether you really feel like you need the coverage or not.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says having those numbers of your expected production on file could help speed up any ad hoc disaster payments that might come about in the future. Ducheneau says right now, with only a few days left to sign up, producers have signed only 1.2 million agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage contracts, and that is only
67% of our expected enrollment.
And the deadline to sign up for PLC and ARC, March 15th, Gary Crawford, Washington.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Nathan Kaufman runs the Omaha branch of the Kansas City Federal Reserve, spoke recently at USDA's Ag Outlook Forum, looking back at 2020 and what's on tap for 2022.
So first is to recognize that even though we saw a rapid decline in agricultural commodity prices, we saw those prices quickly recover. Beginning in about June or July of 2020, China began placing large orders for agricultural products. And whereas there was some concern about export activity in the first part of 2020, we started to see those conditions rebound and exports begin to take off the latter part of 2020. Prices then continued to increase through 2021, and alongside prices, profits. And alongside profits, we also saw an easing of financial stress and pressure that had been building in the many years prior to 2020. For example, we started to see working capital levels improve. We started to see repayment rates on farm loans begin to recover and far exceed those of prior years. And farmland values, it may have been expected that in March and April of 2020, we would actually see further decline, maybe notable decline in farmland values. But we now know that that did not play out. And I'll come back to farmland values as well as an indication of broader financial health in agriculture. With the surge then in agricultural prices and profits that began in the second half of 2020, farm incomes continued to accelerate rapidly, remained high through 2021, and competed very much with the levels that we saw in 2010 to 2013, which may have been a time that many producers in agriculture thought would not be replicated. So we saw those values continue to increase as it relates to farmland, as it relates to agricultural prices, definitely concerns along the way that were tied to the pandemic, but also agricultural credit conditions that continued to improve and recover dramatically. Toward the end of 2020 and through 2021, many of our contacts indicated that producers were, for example, using the increased revenue and income to pay down debt and maybe ease further some of the financial stress that had been building beforehand. What we've seen most recently now as it relates, for example, to farmland values, just to give a specific example, is the latest data that we've collected showing about a 25% increase relative to a year ago in farmland. So those have continued to strengthen, even setting new records, and much of that would not have been expected either before the pandemic or the first couple of months of the pandemic. So with this kind of economic environment in agriculture, the question that we're grappling with is whether we should dismiss the worries that we had in the years prior to the pandemic. Again, those 5, 6, 7 years where prices and profits, revenue were relatively low and a gradual build in financial stress. In other words, has this reset that we've seen in agriculture resulted in a new and brighter picture for the industry, maybe even stronger than what might have been imagined several years ago? Or has this reset led to just a temporary brighter picture that will eventually fade and maybe resemble that of the previous decade? So to answer some of this, I think that much of the discussion here will focus on the connection to the broader U.S. and global economy. And so I'll offer some signs that there may be optimism, and then I'll also characterize where I see some of the risks specifically tied to broader economic developments. So first, beginning with a few reasons for optimism. Economic activity over the past 2 years has been tied in various ways to the pandemic. And as I noted earlier, the contraction associated with that pandemic was severe in 2020, but also very, very brief. We've seen that economic activity rebound sharply, and there does appear to be some momentum. One of the strongest increases that we've seen in many years, for example, in real GDP in 2021, following what we knew to be a decline in 2020. So the first to recognize as a sign of optimism is this broad momentum in U.S. and global economic activity. A second measure, though, that I would point to is generally how households might be positioned to be able to continue to propel some of these gains in the broader economy. And here it does seem that households appear to be fairly well positioned. I'll offer a couple of data points to support this. One, recognizing that for the most part, labor markets are very strong. Unemployment sits at 3.9%. We're seeing wages rise at a pace that we haven't seen in quite some time, at about 5% in the most recent data. Consumer spending, and we know that the U.S. is largely an economy that's driven by consumer spending, well exceeds the level that we had been prior to the pandemic. And moreover, households seem to be sitting on a fair amount of cash, where the savings rate compares very well with where we had been in 2019. So households also seem to be in a strong position. The third that I would highlight, and this list is certainly not exhaustive, is to recognize that how, similar to households, farm businesses are also positioned relatively well. As I mentioned earlier, working capital levels, which had been somewhat depleted in the years prior to the pandemic, have largely been restored. Many producers are in a strong position to service the debt that they are using, where they see opportunities for further advancement. And many producers are even using cash to finance year-to-year operations, whereas prior to 2020, many would have been relying increasingly on financing to operate from one year to the next. And then, of course, land values. We look at land values, and I've mentioned this several times, as an important indicator for the financial health of agriculture. And there, too, with land values sitting at record levels, represents a positive picture. So there are reasons to be optimistic. But as with any of these pictures, there will be some notable risks. And as I would argue, many of these will likely be tied to the broader economic developments that we're tracking. So the next thing I'd like to do here before wrapping up is to briefly highlight what some of these risks might be in the broader economy and how they might tie to agriculture specifically. And to motivate this, the first thing that I'd like to discuss is, again, back to land values. We ask a lot about this because of the significance that land represents in the financial picture and the overall asset base of the farm sector. Many of our contacts expect land values to continue to increase further in 2022, given the momentum that we've seen. But at the same time, many of these contacts also do feel that land values may be overvalued. And this is important because that would suggest that whereas there might be some momentum right now, there's perhaps a view that some of the risks that had existed prior to the pandemic may still be relevant going forward. So let me discuss what some of these risks are connected to the broader economy that I think will be important to pay attention to and have implications for agriculture. First, I would say despite strong economic growth in 2021, this broad activity does appear likely to slow somewhat in 2022 and 2023, in part because the rates of growth that we saw in 2021 were probably not sustainable based on where we had been in the many years prior. From 2010 to 2019, economic growth typically ranged at about 2 to 2.5%, and we saw something closer to 6 or 7% in 2021. As we start to see some of the stimulus wear off from the COVID era, it's likely that that activity will also fade a bit back to something that may have been closer. So the first to recognize as a risk is just a slower pace of growth, perhaps in the U.S., but also globally, as we see some of those stimulus payments start to wear off. Second, and related to some of this stimulus, is to recognize the role that government payments played in terms of propping up the ag sector and farm incomes in 2020. And I would say that it doesn't seem likely that these sorts of government payments will provide the same kind of support that we saw in 2020, which, again, may have provided some of the momentum that we saw into 2021. In 2020, we now know that government payments accounted for about half of net farm income, which was an extremely high level, started to fade a bit in 2021. And although we still have high commodity prices to support farm incomes last year and maybe looking at this year, it's something to recognize as a risk that those payments that had existed in 2020 may not provide the same support, which is a broader statement about the general range of stimulus, not just in agriculture, but in other places, that stimulus was sizable in 2020, but perhaps beginning to fade and again contributing to some of the slower growth that might be ahead. A third risk that I would highlight that many of you, I'm sure, are also quite focused on is inflationary pressures. We've seen those relatively persistent across the economy, not just in agriculture. They've weighed on profit margins. They've complicated decision making for many businesses and investment planning as well. Those inflationary pressures have generally persisted for about the past year or so and have been across a range of industries. In agriculture specifically, we all know of the anecdotes pointing to things like increased fertilizer prices and other things, maybe even tied to land and starting to see pressure, for example, on cash rents. We know that those inflationary pressures are somewhat complex and tied to, for example, issues related to labor shortages. issues related to supply chain disruptions and transportation costs. As inflationary pressures have continued to persist, again, agriculture is not immune to those pressures, and so those costs likely will weigh on profit margins and incomes, even if at the same time the slower rate of growth that I pointed to earlier may also cause commodity prices to not be at a level that they had been, for example, a year ago. So inflationary pressures will be something to pay attention to. The fourth risk, and again, keeping this at a relatively high macroeconomic level, is to recognize the potential for changes in interest rates. And this, of course, will be predicated very much on how inflationary pressures play out. We think that various measures of financial health in agriculture and in other places will depend on the future path of interest rates. And lately, with some of the persistence in inflationary pressures, there may be a view that markets have also recognized that interest rates would need to increase to recognize some of this persistence in inflationary pressures. And of course, interest rates and what happens with interest rates has important implications for farmland values that I've alluded to numerous times. So let me conclude my presentation today then by describing the path that I think appears most likely to unfold in agriculture. And of course, there are many paths. One of those is to simply recognize that agriculture has gone through a reset. Conditions are very different now than they would have been if I was describing the same set of conditions 2 years ago before the pandemic. Incomes are much higher. Credit problems and financial stress is much different than it had been before the pandemic. Levels of bankruptcy even are about half of what they would have been on a quarter-to-quarter basis before the pandemic. Looking forward, though, is where the picture gets a little bit blurrier and maybe a bit more complicated. It seems plausible that conditions that we've seen in agriculture the past 2 years, as with the broader economy, are perhaps not going to be quite at the same level for the variety of reasons that I pointed to earlier. So while we may not see conditions in 22 be particularly concerning, and 2022, I would argue, appears to be a relatively strong year, looking forward, we are still mindful of the risks that may unfold alongside some of these broader economic conditions. So I think this is where we'll spend a lot of our time thinking about, for example, how the economy seems to be evolving. It will, of course, as it has been, tied to the pandemic, thinking very carefully about inflationary pressures, watching for signs of changes to supply chains and labor markets. All of those things will have, I think, important implications for agriculture.
Nathan Kaufman, who is the head of the Omaha branch for the Kansas City Federal Reserve, from the recent USDA Ag Outlook Forum. It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's the new leader of the herd. The Fendt 1000 Vario is the world's largest draft tractor. With up to 500 horsepower, it pulls with tremendous strength and next-level traction. Fendt's breakthrough technology makes it incredibly effortless to operate around the farm, and its superior cab will have you feeling right at home. Experience all the innovations of the Fendt 1000 Vario today. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, hearing today from Nathan Kaufman with the Kansas City Federal Reserve.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, highlights today from the recent USDA Ag Outlook Forum. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back, March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the Sorghum Checkoff for a Learning Center session, Finding the Sweet Spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
Welcome back to the Agribusiness Report.
2021 was the first year of USDA's pandemic cover crop program, which basically gave eligible producers who planted winter cover crops followed by insured spring planted crops a $5 an acre discount off of their crop insurance premiums. In that first season, farmers signed up over 12 million acres of cover crops and got over $59.5 million worth of crop insurance discounts.
My personal opinion is that we should see that number and possibly even more for the 2022 program.
Barsha Bunger runs the USDA's Risk Management Agency. She told reporters Thursday that some changes in the 2022 version of the program should bring in more producers and more acres. Last year, the program only included winter cover crops followed by an insured spring planted crop. This year, it will
also include summer cover for fall planted insured crops.
But Bunger says the catch is you have to do what you need to do to apply for the program by March 15th. Gary Crawford, Washington.